Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. We're back here in the studio with Paul and his friend. He's sitting next to an exciting man named Stan, who was my Halloween ventriloquist dummy. And, man, we haven't spoken since then. That's amazing. We thank you for tuning in. Here we are on Election Day. Everybody's all excited about that. It's also Nacho Day, National Nacho Day, if you're going to...
Is that true?
Yeah, it's true. And... there's something else that today was Nacho Day, Election Day. Oh, and you can vote for, I moved to the semifinals for my book on goodreads.com.
Oh, nice.
So you can vote for that also. Yeah, very exciting. And we, sorry, I was distracted by a text that's coming in. A lot of stuff going on. But we have not spoken to you since last week when we were heading into Halloween. So we're going to download you on the Halloween extravaganza. We have the final stop of the fall tour. December is not going to count as the fall tour. We're going to count that as the winter. We're going to Cleveland this weekend for three shows, Thursday through Saturday. Very exciting.
No, 3 days.
What did I say?
Five shows.
What'd I say?
You said three shows.
3 days. Five shows.
Yeah. Three shows would be fun. That would be...
What's five going to be? Exhausting.
Well, not for me, for you.
Cleveland for 3 days. Then I shoot over to New York for the live Come to Papa Thanksgiving special on Monday, which is a weird thing. Monday. Oh, wow. At the Village Underground in New York City. And... that's it for the housekeeping. The Halloween festivities was a big smash. We had a big party here at the house. We had a record number of trick-or-treaters just going crazy outside. It started off where there's this very popular street a couple blocks away. It's like the main street that everybody goes. And if you grow up in L.A. in a neighborhood that... is not hospitable for trick-or-treating. You oftentimes get dropped off here to go trick-or-treat. The problem was everybody comes up the street and then chucks a right-hand turn and goes up to this wonderful Halloween land. And we're like, you've got to go left two houses to us. Mm-hmm. And some new neighbors, two young family neighbors, just moved in on the right. And they were... kicking ass. They had big smoke machines. They had music. Yeah. They had light shows. Very exciting to see that kind of enthusiasm back in the neighborhood. But it was luring people directly to the right and then up to the fancy street. And we're sitting there on the left like, uh-oh, we're out of the route. But then as things evened out and people started coming in all different directions, the kids started showing up. And my parents were here. And we stuck them outside with a bowl of candy. And they were running to the ground with the amount of activity.
Yeah, this is a big... this whole neighborhood was swamped. Like, I couldn't park within, like, 4 blocks of here. I had to park on, like, the main street.
Yeah, it was a big success. And last year also was the... Dodgers in the World Series, Game 7, and that really put a damper on the amount of kids walking around with their parents getting candy. But this year, the Dodgers probably because of Halloween, decided to take a nosedive and lose to the dreaded Boston Red Sox.
Yeah. It was over quick.
It was over quick. The buzzsaw that was the Red Sox, that was the New York Yankees, had such a great season, and we knew firsthand how good the Red Sox were because we could not catch them, and they just beat on us repeatedly.
But it doesn't even feel like a baseball season when the Red Sox win, because I don't watch it.
It's nobody like you don't want to feel. You just don't even pretend. You pretend it didn't even happen. You don't want to feel. You don't want to look. It's just sad. So they knocked the Dodgers out, and the party was a success. We had a good number of people, and Paul, as you saw on Instagram, came in full glory. His blonde wig, his red shiny robe, his great wrestler belt. It was, we didn't give out prizes, but I would say the Nature Boy was probably one of the top,
Ric Flair.
Yeah, one of the top costumes of the party.
Yeah, we got it on the Patreon video, patreon.com, come to Papa. We got all the tour videos from everybody. But the big thing is, I don't know what happened. You took like a couple photos. You're usually very, very good about taking pictures of everybody. You have like no photos of your costume with your dummy.
I have very little. People did not take a lot of pictures of me. It's making me think maybe it wasn't that great of a costume. I carried around at Paul's request a little ventriloquist dummy. I dressed kind of like him.
Yeah, it was
good. He was an inappropriate dummy, and he was a lot of fun at the party. He was hitting on all the ladies. He was drinking booze through his puppet face. He was a lot of fun. He was cursing in front of the children. He was definitely inappropriate and a lot of fun to be with. But very few photos.
Yeah, it was. We were all enjoying life and in the moment. It was a real drag.
Yeah.
Nobody had their phones out. But there was a neighbor who also dressed up as Tom with your book and your glasses.
That was funny. He came as Tom's number one fan.
And I don't know if we got I was trying to get a picture of that, and that wasn't anywhere to be found. We were just living life and being social. We didn't have a house photographer.
The food was stupendous. We had amazing chili, fried chicken. What else? There was another fried chicken and the chili.
Cupcakes. Your wife's Heath Bar cheesecake, which was gone in seconds.
I can't remember it because I didn't get any.
Yeah, I didn't get any either. That was gone.
Yeah.
So
nothing. But there was good booze, and then the party was a success. The kids all had a good time. The adults were cool. It was like a nice group. It was a good one this year for sure. And then you and I were standing at the Southwest boarding area at 6:30 the next morning.
Yeah, I was at your house at 5 a.m.
That was rough. That was one of the bigger pushes of the year, for sure. Having the joy-filled Halloween, even though I was drinking early, it was long, and, you know, you're cleaning up at the end of the night, and then just standing there at Southwest, just like, I feel okay, I'm all right. And then just, when we finally got to the hotel in Kansas City, I passed out for 2 straight hours.
Yeah.
Which is very unusual.
Well, you skipped the thing because we were taking Southwest, which, you know, people can be judgmental about Southwest, but it was the only direct flight from L.A. to Kansas City, and it would get us there at noon, so we could, like, kind of crash out instead of stopping 2 or 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're on early. And then the first 2 rows are filled up, and I noticed former Saturday Night Live member Jason Sudeikis. Now,
oh yeah, our star-studded
now
Southwest
movie
flight.
Star, and I said, hey, and he's got like really long hair now, and
he looked like a gnome.
Yeah, he had like a hat on, but I could hear he has a pretty low voice, and and I've met him a couple times.
This is at 7 a.m.
Yeah, and so I think he's got a child with him. And so I was like, hey, Tom, it's Jason Sudeikis over there. And you were like, no, it's Rob Riggle.
Yeah.
And so 6'5", 300-pound Rob Riggle sitting directly behind me. Like, I can feel his breath on the back of my head. Like, he's so big and packed in there.
It was a star-studded comedy flight.
Yeah, and then... And then just before the doors close, Rob Riggle almost has the whole aisle to himself. And I thought he was kind of being a jerk by telling people he's got somebody coming. And then that's the move to save all the seats in your row so nobody sits next to you on Southwest. And then it ends up being TV's and movies Will Forte.
Yeah.
With a big
Will
scruffy
Forte,
beard.
Rob Riggle, Paul Morrissey, Jason Sudeikis. And yours truly, all within two rows.
On Southwest.
Heading to Kansas.
The comedy flight.
The comedy flight to Kansas. That doesn't happen all that often, I would imagine.
So they were doing a big charity thing for the weekend, but we had the show that night at the Truman.
Yeah.
So Tom crashes out. We end up at the Truman, which is not a traditional theater type of place, more of a rock club.
A rock club for sure.
But it was fun because we hadn't been in that area, and we had a lot of fans traveled far to get there. So that was pretty cool.
Great shows. I have to say, this tour has been such a blast. It's been so exciting. The people, you know, because we're going out and signing all the books after the shows, and everybody comes up, and we get to really see where, like, people have been flying in, driving for 6 hours.
Yeah.
Coming to these shows. They've been just really kick-ass, a lot of fun. And we've had packed houses in most of the places. And it's just been, the fan support has been awesome. I have to say, this is, I think, one of the most fun times touring that I've ever had. And it's all to you, good people out there. And thank you for coming out and continue to come out. It has been just a blast.
Yeah, the book, because you end up talking to people and signing books, and then I talk to people and hand out the podcast cards and say hello. I'm the fluffer before they get to Tom, and so so I get to talk to people a little bit, and they ask me the questions that. They're scared to ask Tom.
Why would they be scared?
So those are the videos. Like, I don't know, even though if you've seen some of the stuff, but we had a blast talking to everybody in line, especially in Austin and San Antonio. We had some...
Texas. We had... how many cities in Texas in the last 2 weeks?
Three. We had Dallas, Austin, and San Antonio.
Yes.
And so... yeah, that was awesome, and we were up early. Did we get up early the next day, or we slept in?
I don't even remember.
We went to Austin.
Oh, we slept in, because we just, we got up kind of early, because we had to, early for us is 5 a.m., so no, we slept in, and we were on a flight at like 11.
Kansas City to, oh yeah, that's because you went on a different flight.
Yeah, we had different flights.
I went to San Antonio to pick a car up and then to meet you in Austin just in time for a show. And by the way, Austin has turned into a city that's not big enough for itself. The traffic is crazy.
Yeah,
there's people, there's lines everywhere. It's such a cool city that everyone wants to be there, and it's a real drag to get around in.
Yeah, but it's fun if you're in a good... Our hotel was in a good spot, so we were able to just walk around.
Yeah.
We had a sold-out show at the State Theater, and then we were able to just walk around. We didn't even realize how close we were for dinner. We went to this great place, the Emmer and Rye.
Yeah.
That place was amazing.
That was the... I would put it at number one on...
On the tour?
we've had some pretty good meals in the last couple years,
mm-hmm.
and that's definitely top two.
Yeah, that was a good one. The wine was flowing. The people were, it was like this all natural grain fermenting restaurant. It was just, oh boy, it was good.
Well, they had like six things on the menu, but then every 5 minutes they would bring around a cart that had some kind of like specialty thing that they had just made.
Yeah, because they source all local stuff, and in order to keep it going and be able to make all of the stuff for everybody, whether or not they, you know, they can't hang on to all this stuff, I guess, is what it really comes down to. So they just cook it all up, and then they bring it around, and like a dim sum, you can just buy it.
Yeah.
In additional plates for, and we couldn't stop. And you were pretty adventurous for somebody who doesn't really like to eat too many strange things.
Well, that's the thing. I don't want to get a bad reputation. I just have a set.
Too late.
I have a set of rules that I go by.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're pretty, you know, no fish that isn't cooked. No parts of the head of any animal.
No eggs.
No fish eggs, no fish eyes, no... I think they're pretty, like, a standard for most humans.
No.
No, because you trust chefs like people trust doctors, and you just eat whatever they put in front of you, and you don't realize you're going to be sick the next day or something.
We felt great after that place. That place was, it was so
good. Yeah, that place was great because it was just the right amount of meat. It wasn't, like, overwhelming. There was like some short ribs, there was some crab, there was some shrimp, there was some great bread. You must have been impressed.
The best thing was the sourdough bread. That was...
And coming from you, that's got to be huge.
I mean, you know you're in a good place when you're in this swanky restaurant and the main thing is a half loaf of sourdough bread, toasted, and brought out to the table and... Well, there was a emulsified butter and then a like almond maple something.
Yeah, that part I didn't get why penicillin was involved.
They add penicillin to the butter.
Yeah, why?
To have it foam up and have it become more active.
What if I'm allergic to penicillin?
Yeah, I know. That was kind of weird that they weren't like telling us that. It was only because we were asking so many questions.
They should just call it something else. When you have penicillin in there, it just doesn't seem like food.
Yeah, that was a little strange. But man, that was such a light, airy, sweet butter.
And for you to like sourdough bread, that's like us going to a comedy show after our show and saying, wow, that was an amazing show.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was, though. And that's what Emmer and rye. Emmer is this type of flour, this kind of an ancient flour. Ooh, the dummy just... passed out. Literally, as we're talking, the dummy just lowered its head and it's put it in his lap. He's so bored because he can't eat food. It was an ancient flour, emmer, and rye, of course, is from the part of Europe where they were influenced by also. But they use this really unique flour in that sourdough bread. And It was just... What I couldn't understand was how they toasted... The whole...
Yeah.
I think what they... Like, they gave you a half of a loaf of sourdough bread, you know, sliced, not all the way through, but sliced.
Mm-hmm.
So you had, like, four big pieces. And that just came on the plate with the butter and the other thing. But the sourdough, it's like they buttered it lightly or put oil on the sides of it and put it on the grill for a quick second.
Yeah.
Because it came kind of toasted.
Yeah, that's the part I really like.
That was impressive.
Yeah,
that made me want to do that for sure.
Yeah, was that you should have asked them if that was a trick?
It was. Well, I don't know. It was definitely. It was a trick, and it was good. And I want to do that with my bread. I have a big bread thing going on right now.
Oh yeah,
yeah. This is the first cinnamon
pretzel
raisin
bites?
Bread.
Cinnamon raisin.
Ooh.
See, I'm not a big raisin guy.
Oh.
I think I got I actually got a prop on the ballot today to get raisins removed from trail mix.
Oh, my Lord.
It's a big vote.
Come on, man. You just started by saying you don't want to get a bad reputation.
Raisins?
Yes, cinnamon raisin bread. It's a classic. It's an autumnal into the winter, warm, cozy feelings. You smell some cinnamon raisin bread wafting through the house. You put butter on it. Oh, all is right in the world. It doesn't matter if you have to go for a...
No, it's good despite the raisins.
Or if you're on your way to prison after murdering your whole family. You have a slice of cinnamon raisin toast. Forget it.
I will say that. Right. I can eat an oatmeal raisin cookie despite the raisins.
Oh, my God. When I was making it, I literally was concerned for my 13-year-old who's going to say the same thing that you are. Raisins. It's like, you know what? Just eat around the raisins if you don't like raisins. Just accept it. It's the greatest smelling, most beautiful bread. And it's going in the oven as soon as this is over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I hope it comes out all right. I've never done it before. I think there's enough of the cinnamon and the raisin and maple syrup in the dough.
So where do you get the raisins from?
Raisin Heaven. The Raisin Hut.
California raisins.
California raisins. They just, they come in a little box and you throw them in there. We'll see how it goes. The other ones, the other regular bread came out great. And you remember the gentleman's breakfast? Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
It's butter mixed with anchovies and garlic. That's on the counter right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because I didn't eat breakfast this morning. I went for a run and I ended up having to do a bunch of stuff and haven't eaten. And so I broke it out so it gets nice and soft, and that's what I'm going to eat.
Nice.
So we might have to do it in the middle of the podcast. So good.
Yes. Yeah,
so I know it sounds insane, but butter, you chop up anchovies and garlic, and you put it in softened butter, and then you put it in the refrigerator. Oh, my Lord, it's so good.
Well, that was the other interesting thing about, I will say this, it was an experimental place that had 9 ingredients, and 7 of them you understood. One of them you're like, doesn't need that. And then there's one thing that blows your mind.
Yes, I agree with that. You know, they come out with a dish, and it has all these things, and you can taste like a bunch of them, and the other two, you're like, why'd you even put it in?
So with the bread, we had, the bread itself was amazing. And then there was like this almond thing that was like dark and weird looking. But then the butter was amazing, like we said.
Insane.
Same thing with the ice cream.
Oh, my God.
We got black garlic caramel ice cream.
Jeez.
And the throwaway was some kind of fruit and honeycombs.
Honeycomb. These little tiny triangles. It was honeycomb.
Yeah, what the hell? That was amazing.
Wow, that was really insane. I don't even care that much about dessert. At the end of a meal, you can give me one slice of cheese and one more sip of wine and send me out the door, and I am happy. Don't really care about the sweets, but our waitress was like, you should try this.
Yeah.
And it was black garlic caramel ice cream, which was so insanely good. And then this little bite of crunchy, lightly toasted honeycomb that just transported you to another planet.
Yeah, and the whole thing was the ice cream melts a little bit and gets on the honeycomb and makes it taste even better.
Insane. That place was Chris Thiele from Live From Here, who really who travels a ton and is a good food snob to have in your corner. Like, you tell him you're going to a certain place, he'll tell you exactly where you should eat. And that was his recommendation. So super grateful to Chris for that one. That was great. And then we went to San Antonio and ate tacos in a cool place down by the Riverwalk.
Yeah.
And that was good in its own right. Just a lunch, just in a down and dirty taco place. We had a big queso, and it was solid.
It was Pete's Taco.
Pete's Taco House?
And everyone knew what it was. Everyone was like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, gotta go to Pete's.
Great stuff.
We stayed in a cool hotel there. It was kind of like...
Yeah.
It was kind of like being in Palm Springs.
Yeah, it was like one of those things
in
like...
the 50s.
Yeah, it was like, are they doing this on purpose or is this just left over from when...
It was a tiki
hotel.
It
was new.
Yeah, it was all tiki. Which at the end, by the end of 3 days and all the shows and all the travel, and I had to leave at 4 a.m.
Yeah,
to get back home, which was cool. To land at 7:30 in LA was pretty great. But I had a real push and we were done pretty early.
Yeah.
I really wanted to go in to the tiki bar for a drink, but I knew one drink and that 4 o'clock is a whole different experience. I mean, it was hard enough doing it, but really, literally, one alcoholic drink, an extra hour, hour and a half sitting around, it changes everything.
But here's what happened is I find out after speaking to a few people after my after the show that it is daylight savings.
That was a treat.
So we get an hour back.
We did get an hour back.
And so I was a little bit hungry and I was like, I wonder if there's a place that sends, you know, Postmates or one of those places like that.
Uh-huh. Oh, and this is when you're off in your room by yourself?
Yes. So it's like, I don't know, what is it, 10:30?
10:30.
Something like that. So I'm like, oh, I'll get a sandwich and watch Saturday Night Live or whatever. So then, so I check the only place still open, Jimmy John's.
Oh, yeah, old reliable. Place.
So I was trying to see if they would bring it. They're like, no, but we're open till midnight. You know, it's like a half a mile away or something like that. So
oh,
I was
no,
like,
I
oh,
know where this is going.
I'll just Uber. And then all of a sudden, Tom's favorite thing in the world, a scooter in front.
Paul is addicted to scooters.
So I take this scooter.
There are scooters. Wait, let me just preface this. For people that haven't been traveling into cities or don't live in cities, if you go to almost every major city right now, especially the ones that we were in the last 6 weeks, there are rental scooters, Bird and Uber, scooters that are just thrown about.
All over the sidewalks.
All over the place. And it's just people just get on them and they fly around town. It's cool, but there's no like scooter rack. There's just, you just get off it. The kickstand doesn't work. And they're just, you have a great joke in your act right now that it looks like, what is it like? That
child abduction.
There was a great child abduction and all that's left is these scooters. It really looks like that. And I get it. It's totally, I had a scooter in college I used to go to my classes on. Wasn't a motorized one. I would just, we had these little hills where I went to school and I would scoot down to class.
Yeah.
I'm a scooter fan. But Paul.
You look pretty scared.
The whole time we're walking around, Paul is just praying that I'll get on one of these scooters.
Well,
I can't afford to go flying off a scooter in Austin and land on my face when we have a show in a couple hours.
Well, I did. So when we were in Dallas, I had to pick up a charger, and that's basically like the easiest way to go get it. And I end up on the spot that JFK is assassinated. Right. I look up.
That was impressive.
I'm looking at the book depository. Yeah. This one was almost as crazy. So I take, you know, I just go along this little thing, and then there's like a, literally like a horse-drawn carriage with a big pumpkin, like a lit-up pumpkin, like Cinderella.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, where the hell am I? And I look to the left, and there it is, the Alamo. There's two people. I think somebody was getting married.
Oh, God.
It was like four people like you. Like there was a guy doing the service and then the couple. And then there's like a military dude.
At 10:30 at night?
Yeah. And there's two guys that are guarding it. So I'm like, hey, can I take a picture? And so I have a picture of the Bird scooter in front of the Alamo before I picked up my sandwich.
That's hilarious.
So I should do advertising for Bird that it's taking me to all these historical
you
places.
You should. Maybe that'll be our sponsor. That's hilarious.
So that's what got me to one more scenic place before I had to leave the next morning.
That's so funny. That's funny because when we there was definitely like the momentum was like, let's just go to the room and go to sleep. But there was like a draw to the tiki, bar. I felt like doing that. I said, no, just do the right thing. And then when you got off the elevator first, I was like, Paul's, he's got to be hungry.
Yeah, well, you have that thing where you can just go to bed when you're hungry. I don't have that. Like, I need to, like, even if I don't end up eating it, I need to have, like, some kind of food in the room.
Just to know that it's
yeah. Because it's that thing in the hotel is just, like, I don't want to get stuck. I don't think I've ever bought anything in my life from a minibar. Uh-huh. It's just on principle.
Really?
Like, I just have rules that I don't pay more than $7 for a candle.
My rule is don't look at the price and eat it all.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to know what this bag of Joe's chips costs. But they're going in my face.
It doesn't even occur to me. It's just one of those things in my head. Just so from funny. The early days that you just don't.
Even your dad would yell at you in the hotel room?
Yeah, but you just don't do it. Yeah. Even early on with comedy, it's like if you even touch the can, it's like $7 on your bill.
I could have just eaten a 7-course meal, waddled into the room, still have food in my cheeks like a chipmunk. And if I see a mini bar with Pringles in it,
oh, really?
Pop it, and I'm eating them.
So you're lying to me,
while I'm standing up.
You're the one that tells me you can just go to bed if there's not a good place to eat.
I can't. Well, you know, a lot of times there's no mini bar.
But you get like, you'll get like trail mix or something.
It's not even the late night. It's as soon as I get into the room.
Oh, okay.
If I get into the room and haven't really eaten, or even if I have, if I see Pringles when I walk into the hotel room for the first time, I'm eating them.
It's just like 7-Eleven. I've never bought food at 7-Eleven because that's like crossing a big barrier for me to buy. Yeah,
that's wise.
A hot dog or a pizza. Or
it's called the anti-diarrhea clause.
It's like if you do all your shopping,
yeah,
at 7-Eleven, then you've got a lifestyle change coming up. But yeah, that was pretty cool. It was like. I will say it wasn't like a super busy town because we were on that city walk and we were pretty much by ourselves. And then
we were like on the outskirts of downtown, which I don't even know if downtown has much action in it. We were along the river, like this beautiful Tobin Theater, which is so great. We're definitely going.
But back. I mean, we could have almost walked to the Alamo. That's how close it was.
Oh, wow.
And it was Saturday night and there was like nobody around.
It's really mellow. It is a kind of like a cool place just to probably live.
Yeah.
When I left at 4 a.m, got in the Uber, and I literally, the alarm went off at 4:30. At 4:55, I had gotten to the airport and through security.
Mm-hmm.
In 25 minutes from like naked in bed.
Yeah, yeah.
To on the other side of security in 25 minutes. I mean, that's milling around the room for 10 minutes, then getting in the car, then getting to the thing, and then going through security. It was like Burbank. It was like it did not count as going to the airport.
Same with me, except for if you were to guess what could have gone wrong as I'm leaving, just knowing.
Oh, I know exactly what it was. Did you get stuck in the parking
lot? Holy cow.
You got stuck in the parking
lot? They were morons. This was like, I even tipped that guy well in Austin that took 30 minutes to get our car.
We had bad valet luck.
Yeah, because I always, you know, I'll call down, get the car ready for Mr. Papa, and have everything set, hopefully. And you know, we even got to sleep in. We stayed, you know, a little past checkout, got... you know, some emails done and everything like that.
Yeah.
And we're just going to try to get on the road. And then I called down, you know, at least 25 minutes earlier. And they said, oh, yeah, it's coming. The car is coming. And we must have waited out there another 20 minutes.
It was ridiculous.
And it makes it sound, you know, kind of you know, high maintenance, but it was like 40,
no, it doesn't.
45
our,
minutes to get your car.
That's our Catholic upbringings. That's our no, don't cause waves, don't be arrogant. No, that is totally appropriate. We got somewhere to go. We just spent a lot of money in this big-ass hotel. Yeah. It's a beautiful spot. You can have the car ready within a half hour.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's
it was pretty crazy.
That's just the way things are supposed to work. Ridiculous.
Yeah, we met some interesting people.
That's what was funny, what was that car, though? Well, that was a Ford...
Flex.
The Ford Flex, which is just a square toaster oven.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're sitting there, we're trying it, we're talking to every valet guy in our way. Again, we don't fly off the handle, but we're just standing there like asking each guy, because, you know, not one of them is helping. So we're making a scene in the way we make a scene, which is just asking for our car.
Well, no, that was and the then, worst thing. They had four guys that kept that weren't doing anything and just kept saying, "Hey, can we help you?"
Yeah, and it's like when you it's like whenever you order food and you're like, "This is taking it's almost an hour," and then you call, and every time you call, they say it's on its way.
Yeah,
every single time it's on its way. It's not on its way. Well, the same thing with the car. Every time we spoke to someone. Hey, can we help you? Yeah, we've been waiting for our car for a half hour. Oh, okay, let me check. Oh, yep, it's on its way. And it wasn't on its way. And so we're standing there like two grown-ups. Everyone else is gone, and we're waiting for our car. So let's just say there was a little bit of an arrogant feeling to these two men demanding their car. And then comes up the Ford Flex, which is this toaster oven on wheels that looks like something hamsters should drive. And... it kind of took all of our mojo away. Like, at that point, you want...
Mercedes?
Like, yeah, you want a Mercedes to pull up and be like, oh, we're sorry, Mr. Morrissey. It was like, pepe, pepe, pepe. We get in the Ford Flex and head to the freeway.
Yeah.
So you got stuck at 4 at 7 in the morning at the...
So we were at that cool hotel, and even when we were checking in, I basically, like, cut the line around and just parked and just told the guys to go get it. And there's like a big to do. And then, so it's, I call and come down there and there, and I said, you know, it was at least 20 minutes. Ugh. And I just want to go outside and get it. And I was like, hey, are you the valet? And he's like, yeah. I was like, I called down, where's my car? He's like, oh, we don't have it. So I went to the desk and the guy's like, yeah, there was like some confusion. I was like, there's no confusion. It's the car's got to be ready. Like, what? We can figure all that out, but just call me back. Yeah. And, you know, they were like, well, we didn't know which room it was for. It's like, all you need to know is that the car needs to be ready. Like, just bring it out front, and then we'll deal with that stuff. So they just didn't bring it out. And so there's three guys at the desk, and nobody's getting a car. And I was like, do you want me to just go get it? Like, I don't care now, because I don't want to wait for it anymore.
You have to go to the airport.
Yeah. It was, like, close. It was...
Yeah.
And, yeah, that cost me, like, 20 minutes. And it was just like, man, what do I got to do?
Yeah. You just got to get off the road for a while.
Well, this was like...
Sometimes you just got to, like, you got to cut your losses. Mm-hmm. And you're like, when the momentum starts and things start going wrong, you just have the travel gremlins.
Yeah.
And you just got to go home and stay there for a while.
Yeah.
After this Cleveland trip, you'll get to do that.
Yeah, I'll forget all the usual mistakes.
You gotta, yeah, it's not even mistakes. It's just like a mojo. You just end up with some weird travel bad luck on your side. And sometimes it's great and smooth and you have no problems.
Mm-hmm.
And other times it's just everything you do, you just know it. Sometimes I'll get that feeling as soon as I walk into the airport, and you're like, the flight's going to be delayed in 25 minutes. And you're like, uh-oh, here we go. And then there's a problem. There really is a... you know, just from moving around a lot, and this is even in your own town, you know when you've entered a dumb environment. Like, you know, I was with my daughter this morning. She'd go to this doctor's appointment, and we're in a different part of town, and it was like we went to the CVS, we went to the donut shop, we went to the doctor's office, and that was it. But every place you walked into... you knew was going to be a problem.
Yeah.
You just knew it. There's just the people don't know what they're doing behind the register. The people who are buying stuff don't know that they have to actually give money for their products. They're just stumbling around in line. Yeah. There's old people who are just confused and, of course, in front of you.
Yeah.
There's, you just, the door is not going to work. There's one, there's nobody behind the, there's nobody in line in front of us.
Yeah.
And still it's taking 15 minutes to get a single donut because the person behind the counter has the brain of a jellyfish.
Yeah.
I mean, you just know, like, you're like, okay, this is, we're, this is this part of town. This is not going to function. Yeah. This isn't a place where people, they don't run into people who are complaining and on the go and rushing and they don't have time for it and they end up, you know, talking to managers and firing people. And this is just one of those parts of town. Anyone that's buying and walking into these stores, they don't have anything to do.
Yeah.
And the, so they don't complain. And the people behind the register just don't know how to do change. They don't know how to fill a cup. They don't know how to, they don't know that maybe they should ask you what you want before they start cleaning all the dishes.
Yeah.
Like there's no con, you just know you've entered Dumbville and you either cut your losses and get out of there or you just have to accept this is going to take 3.5 hours.
Right.
And that's just what happens sometimes. You just roll in and you're just in trouble.
That part makes me laugh a little bit though when you go, like I remember I went to a CVS and they're like, do you have a rewards number? And I was like, no, I have it on the app. And the lady is like, we have an app? Stuff like that just makes me laugh. It's not like...
Yeah. No, if you don't have somewhere to go, and like, if you should try and be patient. Because, I mean, look, the dumb part of town is starting to spread.
Yeah.
Like, there's the dumb part of town is in a lot of places. It's taking over the town like the blob.
They're all riding scooters out, out to the outlands.
Oh, my God.
So will you actually ride a scooter, or do you think that's in your contract that your life insurance policy that you're not covered in scooter accidents?
I don't know. That one, we ran into one woman, she's like all sweaty with her scooter, and she was like 10 times the size of the scooter. And I don't know what we asked her, something about the scooter. I asked, you having fun? She's like, oh, yeah, we do this every weekend.
Oh, yeah,
the whole
family.
We're addicted to it. And I get that. It's kind of, you know what it is? It's what they wanted the Segway to be.
Yeah.
Right? The Segway was going to be that for everybody. And it's too complicated and scary. And scooters,
right?
People are jumping on them and flying all over the city.
Flying all over.
And it makes sense. It's, you know, whatever. But I'm not doing it. all right. So we got to get this podcast out for the people. It's, I will be in Cleveland. We will be in Cleveland this week. We're very excited. We're going to see all of our fans. It's going to be a great time. And then New York City for the live Come to Papa on Monday, the Thanksgiving special. Which
yeah.
Really great with Carmen Lynch and Marina Franklin and Gary Goldman. It's going to be a good one. Kathleen Madigan is going to be there.
Did you, you didn't mention, I got on the... The tour video, the Patreon video, we interviewed a few of the people after the San Antonio show.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a kid, the youngest kid we've ever had at a show. He was 9, and he was dressed better than any of the people there. He had a fedora and a suit.
The kid before, no, that kid was 8.
Oh, okay.
The kid in Kansas City the night before was... 9.
Yeah, and he was dressed like
and
you,
and he
too.
Was dressed sharp, too. Jacket, ties, these kids are rocking it.
Yeah, so good-looking, good-dressed kids are coming to the shows.
I love it. And, I love it. It's so funny how all these kids are showing up.
Yeah, it was really cool.
It's election night, so and it's nacho day. So we hope that you spend the rest of this watching the returns come in, and I hope that you get the good people. Hopefully your whole strategy was just to vote for good, kind people, and hopefully they prevail and you will get to enjoy some nachos tonight. And that's it. That's all we got.
Is it going to be cold in Cleveland?
Yeah, man. It might snow on Saturday.
No way.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
It's hitting us, man. I don't know if I'm ready for that.
I'm not ready for it. I mean, you gotta. There's nothing worse when you're walking through L.A. carrying a giant coat like it's a body in the war, and your people look at you like, yeah. "Where are you going?" I gotta go to Cleveland and then New York. It's gonna be cold.
It's north.
Go to Goodreads.com or just go to my Facebook page and hit the link. And vote for Your Dad Stole My Rake because we're in the semifinals for the best humor book of 2018.
Yeah, you're getting the books out there, man. There's like, it seems like
you sold a bunch of copies.
At least 30, 40, 50 people buying books after the shows, and that's got to help the sales, right? Nobody else is selling books. There's no bookstores.
No, for sure. It's really great. And we always have a local bookseller involved so that it goes to support them, which is really great. You know, I mean, for a local bookseller to sell 30 books in an hour.
A day.
It's really, I mean, that's huge. So I'm going to continue to do that as we tour around. And
I
think we'll do another push because it's a good holiday book. So maybe for the Christmas time.
You gave one away to the guy who, and that video is on the Patreon thing too. You gave away the book to the guy who, did his date leave in the middle? Or did she just not show up?
No, she left in the middle of the show.
She ditched him. There was only, I think that was one of the only seats open.
Yeah.
And this guy, I don't know. He
was sitting there solo. And
he did have shorts on, so.
He was a pretty funny guy.
It wasn't a good night out.
I gave him a free book. Not free to me. I always end up having to buy it.
Yeah.
That's the one thing about working with a local bookseller. They're like, that book you gave away? Who's paying for that?
Yeah, that is funny.
I will. All right, let's get this out. Everybody, enjoy your life.